طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This is our 23rd session, reading from Arabic lessons in Fiqh, level 3, المستوى الثالث, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Last week we covered the arkan of salat, and this week, inshallah, we want to look at the wajibat of the salat. Before we look at the wajibat of salat, we want somebody to mention to us or to remind us, to review with us the arkan of salat. Abu Bakr, so we're going to give you a chance. But before that, first we want to know, what do we mean by arkan of salat? What do we mean by arkan of salat? Muhammad. The pillars of the salat. Type. Anybody want to add to that? Pillars of salat. What do we mean?
Mandatory actions.
Mandatory actions in the salat. What's the difference between arkan and wajibat? What are wajibat of salat? What does wajibat mean?
Obligations.
And arkan are mandatories?
Pillars.
Yeah, Omar, help us, please. Some detail. We want a little more specific. Yes, they are the pillars, yes. Ah, that's the key. If one of them are missing, the salat is invalid. Unlike the wajibat of salat, if one of them is missing, what? You can make up for it by sujood sahw. Naam. All right. So okay. So ya Abu Bakr. You are the one who recited to them last week. No. Yeah. So, Allah تريد أن تشارك يعني إخوانك.
اليوم الآخر.
طيب. Let's go ahead, Abu Bakr. Let's give it to Abu Bakr. Go ahead. يعني he's يعني ما شاء الله insistent. Okay. Listen up. Listen up. أركان of salat. قيام في الفرض. يعني distinction in the fard prayer. It's a rukn of the salat that you have to stand. More detail to the first point. لمن استطاع للقادر عليه. نعم. Okay, number one. Go ahead. How many are there anyway, by the way? 12, according to this book, 12. Go ahead.
14.
Takbiratul Ihram. Not all the takbirat. Takbiratul Ihram. نعم.
Qiraatul
Fatiha. Recitation of Al-Fatiha. Rukn of the salat. If it's left out, salat is invalid. And with some exceptions, special rules, right?
Ar-ruku.
Bowing. Yani, bowing in ruku. Naam. Number five. Ar-rafa. Rafa min ar-ruku. Rising up from ruku. Wal-i'tidal. Yani, standing upright. Number five. Number six. As-sujood. Prostrating in the proper way. On seven bones. Naam. Seven, al-julus, baina, sajdatain. Sitting between two prostrations. Naam. Number eight. Tuma'anina. What? The Tuma'anina is in which part of the salat specifically?
In all parts.
Between ruku and sajda.
And the hadith it mentioned?
Ruku.
Ah, yeah. Hatta tatma'in al-raqiyan. Standing up from ruku, standing up. As-sajda and sujood and julus bayn as-sajdatayn. Specifically in those places there is required tuma'anina. But doesn't mean the rest of the prayer you don't have to be calm and at ease. But specifically it's mentioned now. Tuma'anina. That's seven or eight? That's eight.
Yes.
That's seven.
Eight. Nine. Okay, that's tuma'anina. Okay, nine is
at-tashahud.
التشاهد
الأخير.
التشاهد
الأخير.
والجلوس
لها. التسليمين. أوكي. التسليم.
بين هذا.
What about al-julus? Al-julus للتشاهد الأخير والتسليم. نعم. And then, يعني, Omar? التسليم. والترتيب. والترتيب. So that didn't come to 8, yeah, Abu Bakr. You just mentioned to us 12. Yeah, but in the beginning you said there are 8, and then you gave us 12.
No, I said it's 12.
Oh, you said 12, okay. You know, my hearing is poor. I'll take the blame, inshallah. No problem. Before we go to the wajibat of salat, I just want to review with us quickly the last of the ones that we mentioned in the end of the class last week, that is tartib al-arkan. That these essential pillars of the salat, they are done in the order. So we said last week, tartib al-arkan ala ma hiya madhkura anifan ruknun min arkan al-salat. Doing these things in the order that they have just been mentioned, that we just mentioned them, this is a pillar, an essential pillar of the pillars of salat. فَلَوْ سَجَدَ الْإِنسَانِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَرْكَى. We're on page 38. The last, number 12, the last rukun of the arkan of salat. فَلَوْ سَجَدَ الْإِنسَانُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَرْكَى. If a person prostrated before bowing, for example, مثلاً, مُتَعَمِّدًا, intentionally. There's a difference between the person doing it intentionally and doing it forgetfully, mistakenly. There's a difference. But the person did that intentionally, they performed one of the pillars of the salat out of order, batalat salatuhu. The salat became, his salat became invalid. وَإِذَا خَالَفَ التَّرْتِيبُ سَهْوًا ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ فَإِنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَعُودَ إِلَىٰ الرُّكْنِ الَّذِي قَدَمَهُ فَيَفْعَلُهُ فِي تَرْتِيبِهِ. So if, that's if the person did it intentionally. But if the person went contradictory to this order, due to forgetfulness, and then after that they remembered that they got the things out of order, then it's obligatory upon them to go back to the pillar which should have came first and do it in its order. Go back to what came before it and do it in its order. وَإِلَّا بَطَلَتْ صَلَاتُهُ. And if they didn't, after they remembered, if they didn't go back and correct it, then likewise their prayer became invalid. وَدَلِيلُهُ حَدِيثُ مُسِيِّ فِي صَلَاتِهِ وَعَمَلَ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَلْقَالِ صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِ أُصَلِّ رَهُ الْبُخَارِي فَلَمْ يَثْبُتْ أَنَّ نَبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَعْلَ خِلَافَ هَذَا التَّرْتِيبِ وَلَوْ مَرَّ وَاحِدًا فِي حَيَاتِهِ. The evidence for this is number one, the hadith of al-Musi fi salatihi, the one who performed his prayer poorly. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him to perform them in this order. Do this and then do this and then do this and then that. And also the evidence for this is عَمَلَ الرَّسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ الْقَائِلِ صَلُّ كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِ أُصَلِّي. And also the evidence for this is the practice of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, who is the one who said, pray as you have seen me praying. In the same way, in the same action, same movement, same sayings, and so on. This hadith reported by Al-Bukhari. And finally, it has not been confirmed that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم perform the acts of prayer different than this, not even one time in his entire life. There's no record that he performed any of the actions of these actions of the prayer out of this particular order even one time in his life. And this is a proof that it must be done in this order. Allahu A'lam. In any case, again, I want to emphasize for myself and all of us and the importance of this particular subject matter. And even though we're studying it from the perspective of fiqh, we want to know what is the fiqh of the salat. We want to know what are the shurut, preconditions of the salat. What are the arkan of salat? What are the wajibat? What are the mubtilat? Even though we want to know these things from a fiqh perspective, but in reality, the reason for knowing them is so that we can act upon them. So now a person has to, knowing this, being aware of this, we have to actually act upon this. We have to be careful. We have to make sure that we are observing these things the way they're supposed to be observed. Especially those things which are essential pillars in the prayer, a person has to be very, very careful. For example, if there is, from the essential pillars of prayer, tuma'anina, and maybe one day, person is in a hurry. Huh? In a hurry. And I gotta pray. Yeah. But I gotta rush it, because I'm in a hurry. And then they rise up from ruku and just go straight to sajda. No tuma'anina when they stood up. Or no tuma'anina in ruku. Or no tuma'anina bayna sajdatain. That's common amongst people. They prostrated, they came up, right back down. Wallahi, this is very serious. It means that their prayer may be invalid. Allah does whatever He wills. He can pardon whoever He wills, forgive whoever He wills. But the bottom line is, yani legally, yani that prayer is invalid by their action. We have to be careful from this. Really, this is very serious. If you're in a hurry, if there's some strange circumstance, whatever, remind yourself before you pray that there are certain things that I have to do in this prayer. And if some things you might leave out, it's possible. Some things you might cut short, it's possible. Instead of saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azim 3 times, maybe say it 1 time. And if that's possible. But certain things, you can't do without. Prayer becomes invalid without it. So a person has to know this, and once you know it, then you got to act upon it. Because most of the people don't know it. But then a lot of people who know it, don't act upon it. Okay, let's look at the wajibat of salat. We're going to turn to page 39. Wajibatu salati. Wajibatu salati. Wa alaykum salam. Wajibatu salati thamaniyatun. Wajibatu salati thamaniyatun. Meaning? The obligatory acts of the salat are 8. They are 8. من ترك منها شيئا note متعمدا متعمدا بطلت صلاته نعم. Meaning? Invalid. So whoever left one of these 8 wajibat of the salat, whoever left out one of them intentionally, then his prayer became invalid, or her prayer became invalid. وَمَنْ تَرَكَ مِنْهَا شَيْئًا سَحْوًا سَجِدَ لِلسَّحْوِ. No. As opposed to the one who did it intentionally, what about the one who left out one of these things, yani forgetfully, due to forgetfulness? Then that person must prostrate the prostration of sahu. Prostrations for yani the one who forgot. So there's a difference between the one who did it what? Mutaammidan, and the one who did it sahwan. وَبَيَانُهَا مَا عَدِلَّتِهَا كَالْآتِي. بَيَانُهَا يعني ها is referring to what? الواجبات. Clarification of the wajibat along with its proofs or evidences كَالْآتِي is as follows. Number one, جَمِيعُ التَّكْبِيرَاتِ غَيْرُ تَكْبِيرَةِ الْإِحْرَامِ. Now, all of the takbirat except the first one. Yani takbirat al-ihram is the first takbir that you make when you begin the prayer. All the rest of the takbirat after that come under this category of wajibat. So the rest of the takbirat, they are also very important. But the first one, prayer is invalid without it. So if a person came in the masjid late, may Allah save us from that. And as one of the scholars, he said, if a person wants to, yani be on time for prayer. If they want to pray in the first row, if they want to catch the tahbirat al-ihram, then they should be at the masjid or in the masjid at the time of the adhan, not at the time of the iqamah. At least be in the area of the masjid at the time of the adhan, not at the time of iqamah. Because whoever tries to get to the masjid at the time of iqamah, they might miss it. Especially if they pray in a masjid like the one near my house. Because they don't have any time to pray. One day, yani 3 minutes after the adhan, it came iqamah. The next day, 15 minutes after the adhan, no iqamah yet. Wallahu musta'an. So what you have to do, you have to be near the masjid at the time of the adhan. وَلَوْ يَعْلَمُونَ وَلَكِنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. نعم. جَمِيعَ التَّكْبِيرَاتِ غَيْرُ تَحْبِيرُةِ الْإِحْرَامِ. All of the takbirs, yani other than tahbirat al-ihram, are wajib, obligatory. Person cannot intentionally leave them off. If a person came late, and they ran into the masjid, and they saw the imam in ruku, and they just went into ruku, and they forgot tahbirat al-ihram, guess what? They're just going up and down after that. Salat is invalid. exercise. They might as well go to the gymnasium and do some push-ups and jumping jacks. دليلها حديث يحيى بن خلاد عن عمه رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إنه لا تتم الصلاة لأحد من الناس حتى يتوضع ويضع الوضوء يعني مواضعه ثم يكبر ويحمد الله ويثني عليه. I'm going to stop here for a minute. I want to go back a little bit. دليلها, the دليل that all the تكبيرات other than تكبيرة الإحرام واجب is the hadith of يحيى ابن خلاد عن عمه. Who is يحيى ابن خلاد عن عمه? Or rather, who is his عم? Anybody know who is his عم? This hadith is reported in the Sunan Ibn Majah عن علي ابن يحيى ابن خلاد عن أبيه عن عمه. What's the difference? يعني in our isnad here we have يحيى بن خلاد from his عم. But in Ibn Majah it has علي the son of يحيى بن خلاد عن أبيه from his father عن عمه from his uncle. And in that isnad it says وعمه رفاعة ابن رافع الأنصاري الصحابي رضي الله عنه. Okay, so when you read this hadith, make sure when you say an ammihi, ammihi huwa rifa'a, and he is one of the companions of the Prophet. Radiallahu anhu. Radiallahu anhu. Yani dalilu hadith Yahya ibn Khalad an ammihi, radiallahu anhu. Yani his am is rifa'a, ibn Rafi' al Ansari al Sahabi, radiallahu anhu. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innahu لا تتم الصلاة لأحد من الناس. Meaning? For any one of the people, حتى until he does the following. نعم. إنه لا تتم الصلاة لأحد من الناس. Nobody, no exception, no one of the people's prayer will be complete حتى, unless and until يتوضع. He performs ablution. ويضع, in Ibn Majah, it came فيضع. فيضع. يعني instead of وا, فا. يعني he made ablution. فوضع الوضوء. And notice here, the word al-wudu is with dhamma. And we know that the rule, as Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah said, that wudu with dhamma means the process of ablution, and wadu with fatha means the actual word of wudu, just like tuhur means the action of purification, and tahur means the water that's used for process of the purification. But here in this narration, I went back and checked the books of hadith, and every place it came with dhamma, not with fatha. It came with dhamma. Al-wudu. يَتَوَضَّعَ وَيَضَعَ الْوُضُوَ with dhamma. Al-wudu'a يعني مواضيعه. يعني the person performs ablution and they put the water in the process of ablution in its places. يعني the places that have to be washed in wudu. يعني meaning they perform the wudu properly. And some of the narration says يُسْبِغُ الْوُضُوَ that they perform the wudu well. That's what is intended here, is isbagh al-wudu, that they perform the wudu, yani, well. ثُمَّ يُكَبِّرُ ثُمَّ يُكَبِّرُ. Here's the shahid in this hadith. ثُمَّ يُكَبِّرُ. Then he says, Allahu Akbar. Because we're talking about what? We're talking about the takbirat, other than tahbirat ihram. Okay? So, yani, the first shahid here, and in this hadith is, yani after he makes wudu, ثُمَّ يُكَبِّرُ. This takbir is takbirat al-ihram. وَيَحْمَدُ اللَّهَ وَيُثْنِي عَلَيْهِ. And then he praises and glorifies Allah. وَيَقْرَأُ بِمَا شَاءَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. And then he reads whatever he wants, whatever he desires from the Qur'an. Actually in Ibn Majah, the wording that came is وَيَقْرَأُ بِمَا تَيَسَّرَ. بِمَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. In any case, some of the narrations, يعني in different books of hadith, it came بِمَا تَيَسَّرَ, and it came يعني بِمَا شَاءَ, and even some of the narrations came بِمَا شِئْتَ. Not in this narration, though, in a different narration that we had before in hadith class. Now, but in this hadith, يعني this narration, the narration of Rifa' ibn Rafi', this is how it came, يعني بِمَا شَاءَ أو بِمَا تَيَسَّرَ. And this is important because some of the scholars said, يعني, that this is a proof for those who hold the opinion that Al-Fatiha is not obligatory in the Salat. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, بِمَا تَيَسَّرَ. بِمَا تَيَسَّرَ. In any case, يعني, the stronger opinion is يعني, that Al-Fatiha is obligatory. يعني, it's a rukn of the Salat. يقرأ بما شاء أو بما تيسر من القرآن. Then he recites يعني whatever is easy or whatever he wills of the Quran. Rather he should recite Al-Fatiha. ثم يقول الله أكبر. يعني after he recited Al-Fatiha or whatever he recited from the Quran, then he says الله أكبر. This is from the takbirat other than takbirة الإحرام. ثم يركع. ثم يركع حتى تطمئن مفاصله. Then he should bow until the bones or the joints of his body are at ease. Until the joints of his body are at ease. ثم يقول سمع الله لمن حمده حتى يستوي قائما. And then he says, يعني Allah hears. Allah listens and Allah hears the one who praises Him. And the scholars of Sunnah say the meaning of sam' here, it means يعني that He responds. Not He hears, just hears, but Allah responds to the one who praises Him. He says that حَتَّى يَسْتَوِيَ قَائِمًا, until He rises up standing upright. ثُمَّ يَقُولُ Allahu Akbar. He's standing upright. Then he says, Allahu Akbar. وَيَسْجُدُ حَتَّى تَطْمَئِنَّ مَفَاصِلُهُ. And then he prostrates and remains in that prostration position until the joints of his body are at ease. ثُمَّ يَقُولُ Allahu Akbar. وَيَرْفَعْ رَأْسَهُ حَتَّى يَسْتَوِيَ قَاعِدًا. And then he says again, Allahu Akbar, another one of the takbirat, other than takbiratul ihram, and he raises up his head until he is yani sitting upright, until he is yastawiya qa'idan. Thumma yaqulu Allahu akbar, thumma yasjudu hatta tatma'inna mafasiluhu, thumma yarfa ra'sahu fayukabbiru. He said then he says Allahu akbar and he prostrates, meaning the second prostration, until yani the joints of his body are at ease, and then he raises up his head, فَيُكَبِّرُ, and he says, Allahu Akbar. The hadith ends by saying, فَإِذَا فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ تَمَّتْ صَلَاتُهُ فَقَدْ تَمَّتْ صَلَاتُهُ. So if he did this, all of these things, then his prayer is complete and perfect. In a narration it says, لَا تَتِمُّ صَلَاتُ أَحَدِكُمْ حَتَّى يَفْعَلَ ذَلِكَ. The prayer of no one of you is complete and perfect until he does that. يعني until he does those things, yani that are pointed to, that are mentioned of speech and of actions in the narrations of this hadith. One point here. This hadith, we are using it as a proof of what? The takbirat, other than takbirat al-ihram. Where are those takbirat at? Which takbirat are we talking about? From this hadith? Takbir before you go to ruku? Raising from ruku? When you're going to prostration, say Allahu Akbar before you prostrate. You say Allahu Akbar when you're rising up from the first prostration. Say Allahu Akbar when you're going back for the second prostration. Say Allahu Akbar when you're coming back up again. Those are takbirat other than tahbirat al-ihram. Now,
since this is a wajib, not a rukun, but you know how sometimes if you stay with somebody,
or if you happen to know somebody, sometimes they say so light, or sometimes they may, Allahu A'lam, you don't know if they said it or not. Unless you didn't hear it, you 100% didn't hear it, and they go down to the court, for example. So you just following them. Allah A'lam if they said it or not, so would you say Subhanallah?
Yani, if you're praying with someone and you didn't hear them say the takbir, then sure, you can remind them. You can say Subhanallah. Yani, in any situation. But of course, yani, this is unknown. We don't know that they said or didn't say. Maybe a person said it in a low tone and we didn't hear them.
Yeah, because like they know that you're with them. So like, for example,
so no problem for you to say Subhanallah. Remind them. In case they didn't say it, it will be a reminder. And if they did say it, no harm done. Yeah, it's permissible to correct or to remind somebody by saying Subhanallah. For men and for women, not to say anything. They should, yeah, clap their hands. Now. You don't know what position he's at? Huh? You're praying with one person and you don't know what position he's in? How? Okay, I don't want to get sidetracked with this. Okay, this is really going to get us off track. We're going to get off track. Okay, if after the class, if we have time, inshallah, we can come back to it. But let me just say this. Only thing I'll say is this. For brothers, we should be praying in the masjid in jama'ah. At the time of the adhan and the iqamah. We shouldn't be praying with that one person who came late and you came late and you joined him. We shouldn't be praying with him. That's my advice to you. Because really the evidences concerning this issue of the second jama'ah point to the fact that it's not legislated to have a second jama'ah. This is not legislated. Okay, there's difference of opinion. Some of our scholars from the people of Sunnah say it's permissible. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymi says it's permissible to have a second jama'ah. Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz said it's permissible to have second jama'ah. But the evidences concerning this issue, yani, support those scholars who say it's not legislated to have a second jama'ah. Rather, you have to come to the masjid on time and pray with the imam. As far as that second jama'ah, wallahi, there doesn't appear to be any real evidence to support it. The evidences against it are too strong. Whoever wants to read the evidences, no problem, we will help you to get the evidences, to research the issue, and to read it, so that you could be confident that you should not be praying a second jama'ah. You should not be praying a second jama'ah. What should you be doing? You should be coming to the masjid for the jama'ah on time. Forget about that. Forget about missing. We need to come on time. That's it. No discussion. Khalas. Intahal amr. Let's go back to our lesson. We're not going to talk about this. After the class, inshallah. Be on time. Let's be on time. May Allah make us to be on time. But wallah, it's not that impossible. We can do it. It has to be a priority. And when you know it's time for salat, look, all of you have these smart telephones. I don't have one, but you have the smart telephones, right? Smart telephone tells you, you can make it tell you before it's time for adhan. So then when you know it's before it's time for adhan, go to the masjid before the adhan, not for the iqamah. Okay, let's do that, inshallah. May Allah make us successful. Yani, sure, all of us have shortcomings. We might not make it every time, but wallahi, if you make it as your real sincere intent to do that, if you have that intent and then you try to do it, Allah will help you, guaranteed. You will not try to do good that's pleasing to Allah and really try, except that Allah will help you. But if you don't have the desire to do it, then you're on your own. Point number two, second of the wajibat of salat, after all of the takbirat other than takbirat al-ihram, number two, قَوْلُ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدًا. Remember also that the arkan of salat, most of them are the positions in prayer. Standing, bowing, rising up from bowing, prostrating, sitting. Most of them are the wajibat of salat. Most of them are sayings. Most of them are sayings. Yani, pay attention to that, right? The first of them, takbirat, sayings, right? Second of them, sami'allahu liman hamidah. Third of them, rabbana lakal hamd. And so on. Most of them are sayings. So help us to remember. Of course, there are also actions and sayings that are from sunan. But at least, yani, we know that the arkan, most of them are the positions in the prayer that are mandatory in the prayer, except takbiratul ihram and al-fatiha and tashahud al-akhir and taslim. The rest of them are all positions in the prayer. Number two, قوله سمي الله لمن حمده. This is the wajib of the salat. للإمام والمنفرد جميعا. وقد تقدم دليله في حديث السابق. يعني the hadith that we just read, the hadith of Rifa'a ibn Rafi' رضي الله عنه, made us to know about this, the need, يعني the proof for saying سمي الله لمن حمده and ربنا لك الحمد. It came in that hadith, alright? But notice it says here, قوله سمي الله لمن حمده للإمام والمنفرد جميعا. For both the Imam and the Munfarid. Meaning? It said, Lil Imam wal Munfarid. The Imam who's leading the congregation and the person who prayed alone. Then this is wajib upon them to say, Sami Allahu liman hamid. There's a difference of opinion about this. Okay, because some of the scholars say that it's also obligatory upon the Ma'amun. Difference of opinion, okay? Difference of opinion. And sometimes they use the same evidence. But in any case, yani just note that there's a difference of opinion. What we are saying here in this text is that it's obligatory upon the imam and it's obligatory upon the person who is praying alone. As far as the one who's following the imam, they say he only has to listen to the imam saying, Sami Allahu liman hamida, and he himself has to say, Rabbana wa lakal hamd. That's the opinion that's being expressed here. But I am saying that there's another opinion that it's also obligatory for you to be saying, Sami Allahu liman hamida, when you are rising. And you're listening to the imam while he's rising saying it. And then when he rises, you're not going to move until he's in his position. Then you are rising, and you're not saying anything. You're saying, Sami Allahu liman hamida. When you rise up, you do like the imam did. When you're standing, you say, Rabbana lakal hamd. Or Rabbana lakal hamd without waw. With waw is more complete and perfect. And the meaning is extra. Yani as we discussed previously in ta'azim al-salat. Okay, point number 3. Qawlu Rabbana ولك الحمد ربنا ولك الحمد. This is the third wajib of the wajibat of salat. للإمام والمأموم والمنفرد جميعا. For the imam who's leading the congregation, for the followers who are following him in congregation, and for the person who prays alone, they all يعني have to say ربنا ولك الحمد. So the point they're making what? That the one who is the ma'amum doesn't have to say سمي الله لمن حمده, but he does have to say, or she has to say, Rabbana lakam, Abdul Haq. Wallahu alam. The stronger opinion, in my view, from what I have studied from this, is that it's wajib to say, Sami Allahu liman hamida. Even if you're ma'amum. Imam, ma'amum, munfarid. Everybody has to say it. Wallahu alam. That's what I yani concluded in reading both sides, both views, and the evidence of both of them. Yani, Wallahu alam, that you have to say both of those sayings. Wa daliluhu hadith Abi Huraira. The evidence is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kana yaqulu sami'a Allahu liman hamidahu. There's a printing error here. It says liman yaduhu. It should be liman hamidahu. Sami'a Allahu liman hamidahu. Hina yarfa'u sulbahu min ar-ruku. And in the hadith of Abu Hurairah, that the Prophet ﷺ, he used to say these words, Sami Allahu liman hamida, when at the time when he was rising or raising his back from ruku. He was rising up from ruku. He was straightening out his back, raising his back up from ruku. He used to be saying, Sami Allahu liman hamida. Those who say, everybody has to say it, they said the proof is that the Prophet ﷺ used to do it. And he's the one who said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Pray as you have seen me praying. You saw me saying, Sami Allahu liman hamida, when I was getting up, you do the same. You do the same. Thumma yaqulu. Anyway, the other side, they also have some proof, but yani, Allahu a'lam. Yani, which one is stronger? I believe that you should say it, both of them. Thumma yaqulu, wa huwa qa'im. And then, he would say, while he was standing up, after he reached the standing position, in the standing position he would say, Rabbana walakal hamd. This is the hadith of Abu Hurairah. He said, wa mithluhu an Abi Sa'id and Ibn Abi Awfa. And a similar narration has also been reported not only from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, but also Abu Sa'id and Ibn Abi Awfa radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And the narration is agreed upon as being authentic by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Ya'ani, muttafaqun alayh. Where? Also, muttafaqun, it should be alayhi, lam instead of dal. Also printing mistake. Okay, that's three sayings. That's three sayings so far. Fourth thing from the wajibat of salat, at-tasbihu fi ruku'i wa sujudi. At-tasbih, yani declaring Allah to be free from imperfections. They say glorifying Allah. Now, but the meaning of tasbih, yani from linguistic and sharia perspective, the meaning of it is to declare that Allah is free from imperfections. That Allah has no shortcomings. He doesn't have any defect. And He is free from whatever they have falsely attributed to Him. That He has a son, that He has a wife, and so on and so on. When you say, Subhanallah, that is the meaning. The meaning you're saying, Allah is free from all imperfections. From any shortcoming, from any defect, and whatever they have falsely attributed to Him. When you say, the meaning of it is glory to Allah, what does that really mean? Glory to Allah. What does that mean? Yani, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab said in his book on Salah, he said, At-Tasbih, this is what it means. To declare Allah to be free from imperfections. The Tasbih and Ruku and Sujood is a wajib of the wajibat of Salah. وَأَقَلُّهُ مَرَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَالْأَفْضَلُ ثَلَاثُ مَرَّاتٍ وَقَدْ وَرَدَ أَكْثَرُ. Huh?
Minimum is one.
Yeah, the minimum, the least, is to say it at least one time. But what is better is to say it three times. وَقَدْ وَرَدَ أَكْثَرُ. And it has also been narrated more than that. يعني أكثر, أكثر من ثلاثة. More than three times.
I didn't have a chance to copy this, but anyway, let me just refer here to this particular matter. Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah says, كان يقول, كان صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول في هذا الركن أنواعا من الأذكار والأدعية. Oh, it's... I don't want to go through there yet. That's a little bit long. Yeah. Okay. He says, yani Shaykh al-Albani is saying, some of the adhkar that are narrated, he's talking about sujood, but in sujood and ruku, and he's saying some of the things that are said, he said, وَكَانَ أَحْيَانًا يُكَرِّرُهَا أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Sometimes he used to repeat that tasbih, yani more than the three times. وَبَالَغَ فِي تِكْرَارِهَا مَرَّةً فِي صَلَاةِ اللَّيْلِ حَتَّى كَانَ سُجُودُهُ قَرِيبًا مِنْ قِيَامِهِ. And one time he went to the extreme in repeating it. Yani, so far in extreme it, in repeating it in the night prayer, that his sujood was nearly the same as his qiyam. وَكَانَ يَقْرَ فِيهِ يعني فِي الْقِيَامِ ثَلَاثَ سُورَ مِنْ طِوَالِ يعني البقرة والنساء وعلي إمران. وَيَتَخَلَّلُهَا دُعَاءٌ وَإِسْتِغْفَارٌ كَمَا سَبَقَ فِي صَلَاةِ اللَّيْلِ. Yani the Prophet ﷺ in his qiyam, in the night prayer, he had recited Surah Al-Baqarah, and then Surah Al-Nisa, and then Surah Ali Imran, out of order. Note, out of order. That's how it's narrated in the hadith. Which is a proof that the surahs of the Quran do not have to be recited in order. That's a proof from the Prophet ﷺ. He said that he recited those surahs, and he used to mix in between them dua and istighfar. And that long qiyam, his sajda was nearly equal to it. What was he saying? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la three times? Not possible. Not possible. No?
How would you istighfar when you are saying Quran?
No. Yani, how do you do istighfar? You say astaghfirullah, you say Rabbi ighfirli, Allahumma ighfirli.
Yani, in any of the ways that it's narrated.
Why are you taking Quran?
No. So he used to mix it sometimes. He used to sometimes, where it was appropriate, he would say, he would make istighfar. Where it was appropriate, he would make some dua. Yani, sometimes he used to make dua while he was reciting Quran. No, not just in ruku and sujood.
And seeking refuge from the hellfire.
Seeking refuge from the hellfire. To do what?
Making dua while reciting the Quran, when you read about Jannah or Jahannam.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt that it's not obligatory, but it's permissible. Now, this narration came in reference to the night prayer. It's clear for sure. In the nafil prayer, you can do it. As far as an obligatory prayer, what would be the prohibition? Yani, what would be the prohibition? Allahu a'lam. Naam, ya Abdul Karim. No. That you can say it more than three times. I mean, in any case, look, what's mandatory is to say it at least one time. That's wajib. It's better to say it three times. That was the most common practice of the Prophet ﷺ. If somebody said it more than that, it's permissible. Now, tayyib. Tasbih and ruku and sujood. The least of it, at least one time, but as better as three times, has also been narrated. It's also been narrated. I just read from Sifat al-Salat al-Nabi, Shaykh al-Albani on page 127, that sometimes the Prophet repeated it over and over and over again. فَيَقُولُ فِي الرُّكُوِ. So he should say, in the bowing position, سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمِ وَيَقُولُ فِي السُّجُودِ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْأَعْلَى. Yani, in the bowing position, he should say what? سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمِ. Meaning, be careful. Be careful when you try to translate this. سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمِ. نعم. سُبْحَانَ رَبِّيَ الْعَظِيمِ. My Rabb, yani, is free of all imperfections. He is al-azim. Al-azim means great, magnificent, exalted. Yani has a lot of meanings. Supreme. Yani the meaning of al-azim, if anybody go back and look into the meaning of this word, you will find it has a lot of meanings. A lot of meanings. Best of them, probably great, magnificent. Yani, like this. Majestic, naam. Tremendous. Or you can summarize it in my Rabb, the Supreme. Dalilu that, and he says in sujood, Subhana Rabbi al A'la. In the prostration position, with the forehead on the ground, he's saying what? Yani, I declare that my Rabb, Yani, who is the Most High, is free from all imperfections. And by the way, Yani, when we are reciting these supplications, we should be thinking about the meaning of them. Yani, we shouldn't be reciting words without consciousness of the meaning. Yani, a person should, in bowing position, be thinking about Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Al-Azim. Rabbi al-Azim. Subhana. Yani, while you're bowing, you should be thinking about the one who I'm bowing to, he's the one who's free from imperfections. He's the one who has no shortcoming and no defect. He's free from whatever they have attributed to him falsely. While you're bowing, that's what you should be thinking. Otherwise, sometimes we're just going through the positions. Sometimes we're just going through the positions. Allah musta'an. وَالدَّلِيلُ ذَلِكَ حَدِيثُ عُقْبَى ابْنِ عَامِرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ لَمَّا نَزَلَتْ فَسَبِّحْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الْعَظِيمِ. يعني سورة الحاقة, 69th سورة, 52nd آيات. يعني عقبة ابن عامر رضي الله عنه, he said, when this ayah was revealed, لما نزلت, when this was revealed, فسبح بسم ربك العظيم. Therefore, declare the perfection of your Rabb. يعني that he is free from all imperfections. يعني فسبح بسم ربك. يعني the name of your Rabb العظيم, the great, the magnificent, the majestic. When the ayah was revealed, and that was a command from Allah, فَصَبِّحْ, that's a command. He commanded the Prophet ﷺ to declare the name of his Rabb, of your Rabb, Al-Azim, to declare him to be free from imperfections. قَالَ لَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ اجعلوها في ركوعكم. The Prophet told the people at that time, make this, يعني سبح, this تسبيح, make it, يعني say it when you are in bowing position. When you are in bowing position. Okay, this ayah was a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in the bowing position, يعني we should say, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Prophet said, make this tasbih in ruku. يعني ربك العظيم. فلما نزلت سبح اسم ربك العالى, يعني from Surah Al-A'la, 87th Surah, first ayah. But when it was revealed, سبح اسم ربك العالى العالى, يعني the Prophet, يعني قال لنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, اجعلوها في سجودكم. Say this, make this to be in your prostration position. يعني in prostration, say سبحان ربي العالى. This hadith reported by Abu Dawood in his Sunan. Fifth point, fifth wajib of the wajibat of salah, also a saying. And so far, all of the wajibat have been sayings. قولوا رب اغفر لي بين السجدتين. يعني saying, oh my Rabb, forgive me. Saying this between the two prostrations. ودليله ما روى حذيفة رضي الله عنه أنه صلى مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فكان يقول بين السجدتين رب اغفر لي رب اغفر لي. رواه النسائي وابن ماجه. وما رواه ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول بين السجدتين اللهم اغفر لي وارحمني واهدني وعافني وارزقني. رواه أبو داود وابن ماجة. يعني the evidence for يعني seeking forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between the prostrations is first the narration of حذيفة رضي الله عنه. He said, I prayed with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم فكان صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول بين السجدتين, and he صلى الله عليه وسلم used to say in between the two prostrations رب اغفر لي رب اغفر لي. And the scholars of Sunnah say that the meaning of this narration is not that he said it two times. That's not the meaning. But Hudhayfa is saying he was saying, رب اغفر لي, رب اغفر لي. And he's repeating it to let you know that he said it multiple times. That doesn't mean to say it two times. It doesn't mean that. But rather he was saying, رب اغفر لي, رب اغفر لي, رب اغفر لي. This narrated by An-Nasa'i in his Sunan, Ibn Majah in his Sunan. And likewise, a proof for supplicating between the two prostrations is that which is narrated from Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma. He said, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to say, kana yaqulu. What is indicated in this saying, kana yaqulu? What does that mean? Kana yaqulu. He used to do it? Bil istimrar. He used to say it. But he used to say it continuously. Yani it was something, not that he did on one occasion, but Abdullah ibn Abbas is saying, I pray with the Prophet a lot of times, for years and years, and he used to be saying this. Not one time, he used to say it regularly. He used to say it often. He said it many times. كَانَ يَكُونُ بَيْنَ السَّجْدَتَيْنِ اللَّهُمَ اغْفِرُ لِي وَارْحَمْنِي وَاهْدِنِي وَعَافِنِي وَارْزُقْنِي. And in some of the narrations, other supplications are added to it. There's various different narrations concerning this. In this narration, he said, O Allah, forgive me and have mercy upon me and guide me and grant me well-being and provide, grant me provisions. Grant me provisions. Yani, O Allah, forgive me and have mercy upon me and guide me and grant me well-being and provisions. Provide for me. Yani, whatever a person needs, fi dunya wal akhirah, all of it is there. Now. No. Yeah, this is a good book to supplement what we are doing right now. The explanation of the supplications and the adhkar in the salat by Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr. Hafidhahum Allah. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. And in the Shaykh, he brought a lot of narrations for every position. The supplications that we mentioned here, he brought more supplications. And what is really more important than that? He explained them. What's the meaning of these supplications? That's what we're in need of. If a person is going to reflect on what they're saying in those positions, they have to know what they mean. Now, I don't mean the translation. They have to know the significance of those sayings. The significance of them. Whoever knows the significance of them, your salah is going to be different than when you were just saying, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. And you don't really know its significance, its importance. So the Shaykh, mashallah, he brought tremendous benefits for the supplications, the adhkar, and the adhiyah of the salat. Please read that book. Naam. So in this one, Ibn Abbas, he wrote the beautiful supplication, O Allah, forgive me, have mercy upon me, guide me, grant me well-being, and provisions. Provisions, naam. Because we are in need of that. Naam. Reported by Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah. Point number 6. At-tashahud al-awwal. Naam, ya Abdul Haq? Naam. Wallahi, we are in need of the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At-tashahud al-awwal. Here, they are distinguishing between tashahud al-awwal and tashahud al-akhir. Because we said tashahud al-akhir is from the arkan of salat, and they're saying that tashahud al-awwal is from the wajibat of salat. So they are not the same. Okay, so we're going to look at that just a little bit. At-tashahud al-awwal. What do we mean by tashahud al-awwal? What's awwal and akhir and all of that? What do we mean? Awwal, ya,
awwal. Awwal is the first one.
The first one, naam, it's the first one. So which one is that? Ya, Yunus or Ayub? Yunus, naam. Hold on.
Al-awwal is the first one and then akhir is the second one.
The first one and the akhir, it means the last one, but he says the second one. So that tells us that there what? There are two tashahuds. There's the first one and the second one. The first one came in which rak'ah and the second one came in which rak'ah? Somebody answer both of those questions. One person answer both of them. Nobody in the back? It's Zubair. Nah. I'm sorry. I don't call on people, right? Unless you raise your hand. Now, Abu Bakr. The first one is in which rak'ah? The first tashahud. In the second rak'ah? And the tashahud al-akhir is in which rak'ah? The last sitting. Which rak'ah is that? Third or fourth? He said third or fourth. Okay, now. Yeah, if it's more than two rak'ah, there's two sittings for tashahud. One of them is in the second rak'ah, and one of them is in the last rak'ah. If it's Maghrib, it's in the third rak'ah. If it's Witr and you're praying three rak'ah, it's in the third rak'ah. If it's Dhuhr Asr or Isha, it's in the last rak'ah, fourth rak'ah. Now. Naam, ya awali.
It's the first and the last. It's considered the last.
Naam. The first and the last. Naam is considered the last. The only one is the last one. Tayyib, mashaAllah. At tashahud al-awwal. In the second rak'ah of the prayer, that is three rak'ah or four rak'ah, in the second rak'ah, you're going to recite tashahud al-awwal. Dalilu wujubihi wa adam rukniyatihi. دليل وجوبه وعدم ركنيته. What does that mean? A pillar. The proof that it is wajib, that it's an obligation, but that it is not a rukn, an essential pillar. What's the proof of that? Hadith Abdullah ibn Buhayna radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Buhayna. Anna Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam salla bihim al-dhuhr. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the people. Salla bihim means he salla bihim imaman. That he was the imam. He led the people in the dhuhr prayer. Faqama fi raka'ataini. Raka'ataini. What's the next word after rak'ataini? Al-awwalaini? Al-awwalaini. Rak'ah is feminine. Aula is feminine. Feminine dual. Al-awwalaini. Al-awwalaini. Correct the word there, okay? It has one ya, it should be two. Al-awwalaini. فَقَامَ فِي الرَّكَعَتَيْنِ الْأُولَيَيْنِ وَلَمْ يَجْلِسْ. And he stood up. In the second of the two rak'ah, he stood up without sitting for tashahud. فَقَامَ النَّاسُ مَعَهُ. So the people stood up with him. حَتَّى إِذَا قَضَى الصَّلَاةَ وَانْتَظَرَ النَّاسُ تَسْلِيمَهُ كَبَّرَ وَهُوَ جَالِسٌ وَسَجَدَ سَجْدَتَيْنِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُسَلِّمَ ثُمَّ سَلَّمَ أَخْرَجَهُ السَّبْعَةُ. يعني the Prophet stood up without sitting for التشاهد, so the people stood up with him until he قضى الصلاة, until he finished from the salat, he completed it. وَانْتَظَرَ النَّاسُ تَسْلِيمَهُ, and the people were waiting for him to perform the taslim. At that time while they were waiting, كَبَّرَ وَهُوَ جَالِسٌ. Instead of making taslim, he said, Allahu Akbar, while he was sitting. وَسَجَدَ سَجْدَتَيْنِ, and he prostrated two prostrations. قَبْلَ أَنْ يُسَلِّمَ, before he made taslim. Before he made taslim. ثُمَّ سَلَّمَ, and then he performed the taslim. Okay, a note here, important note, that the Prophet ﷺ left out the sitting. And in that case, he performed the two prostrations before he made taslim. And this is an indication, as Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said, and Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, in his book on Sajda Sahwa, a very important book of Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, he said, like Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said before him, he said that this is an indication that when something is left out of the salat, it's not complete, it's left out of the salat, then the taslim should be made before taslim, to complete the salat before you make taslim. When something is added to the salat, as ziyada, yani the salat is complete, but it has something extra, then the prostration should be made after the taslim. The salat is complete, it's just that you have something extra. So you should make the taslim, and then the correction after. I hope you got it. Yani nuqsan, something is left out of the salat, the two prostrations should be made before you make taslim, because your salat is not complete, you left out something. But if you added something extra, the salat is complete, except that you have something extra, so you make taslim, and then after the taslim, then you should make the prostrations of forgetfulness. Anyway, this is just a general rule. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen explained it in detail, he gave examples, and he gave evidences from the sunnah, from authentic hadith, to prove this point. To prove this point, very important point. Yani, if there's a hadith about a specific mistake in the salat, we should do exactly what came in the hadith. If there's no hadith about that mistake, that we know of, then follow this rule. If you left out something, make the prostrations before taslim. If you added something extra, make the prostrations after taslim. And if you forget, you still correct it by making two prostrations. After the fact. No.
If something is added, so I understand the rule. Because it's seen different things. I think people feel like they know the salam, and then from right there, since they're ready in the position, they'll make the sujood. And I think people, like, they stand up. Like I said, they would make salam, salam alaykum wa rahmatullah, salam alaykum wa rahmatullah. So they'll stand up, and they'll say Allahu Akbar, and then they will go down to and make the two sujood.
I've been all over the world, brother. In a lot of Muslim countries, I've never seen that one. Where did you see that at? Don't tell me the name of the masjid. In New York? That explains it. You might see anything in New York. This is the place where you might see anything. Anyway, I don't know that there's any proof for that. I didn't. Yani the Shaykh, he mentioned a lot of narrations of hadith, authentic narrations, about the sajda sahwa, before, after, and everything. None of those narrations mention the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam standing to make sajda sahwa. None of those narrations mention that. It did happen that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam finished from the prayer, and he left from the prayer, and then somebody reminded him. That's different. But a person who's yani in the prayer and they got up after making taslim to get back down, Allahu A'lam, what's the proof for that? In any case, whoever can bring us the hadith about that, but also yani bring it. Even if it's weak or not, bring it. But if it's weak, then we're not going to accept it. But you can bring it anyway. That might be so, but that's talking about what? Not in Salat. We're talking about Salat. He's talking about Salat. Okay, let's move on, because we want to finish this topic. Now,
if you miss a raka'ah, and then you remember after, do you just make the sajda or do you make the rak'ah and then make the sajda?
Are you saying, yani, you finished the prayer and then after you completed the prayer, you remembered that you left, yani, you prayed one rak'ah short.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to make one more rak'ah. If you remember on the spot right there, you should make it up and then make sajda sahwa. If you remember later on, yani after 1 hour the next day, then the prayer is invalid. You have to make the whole prayer over. It's good? Okay, let's finish. Allah musta'an. Let's finish. Now, ya Musa, thank you. Okay, let's go back to the hadith of Abdullah ibn Buhayna that we just read. This hadith is Akhrajahu as-Sab'a. I went back to Bukhari and Muslim and I found the narration coming. In the end of the hadith, the people were waiting for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to do the taslim. Kabbara wa huwa jalisun. In the book it says, wa sajada sajdataini qabla an yusallima. That's how it came in the book. In Bukhari it came thumma, yani sajada, yani it came sajada, he prostrated, not with sajdataini, he prostrated, thumma rafa ra'sahu, then he raised his head, thumma kabbara, then he made takbir, wa sajada, and he prostrated a second prostration, thumma rafa ra'sahu, then he raised his head, wa sallama. So it appears as though the wording here is the meaning of the hadith. The hadith actually mentioned that the Prophet prostrated, he raised his head, he said takbir, he prostrated again, he raised his head, ya'ani, and then he made taslim. In the book, it gives us that meaning, but it doesn't give us the expression that came in Bukhari. In any case, the meaning is the same. And perhaps, he said, أَخْرَجُهَا السَّبْعَةَ, perhaps it came in another narration, exactly the way he mentioned it here. That's possible. What is the sab'a? What do we mean by sab'a? أَخْرَجُهُ السَّبْعَةَ. Do you want to help us in the back, anybody? Don't look puzzled. Don't look puzzled. Ash-Shaykhan? Ma Ahmed? Ma Arba Sunan. He said, Ash-Shaykhan, Ma Ahmed, Ma Arba Sunan. Yani, Shaykhan means Al-Bukhari Muslim, Imam Ahmed, that's three, and Al-Sunan Al-Arba. Yani, Al-Imam Al-Tirmidhi, Abu Dawud, Al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Al-Nasai. Naam. Abu Dawud, Al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Al-Nasai. Ahmed, Bukhari and Muslim. Point number 7. Al-Julus, Al-Tashahud Al-Awwal. This is the first wajib of the wajibat of Salah that is not a saying. This is the first one that's not a saying. So when we think about the wajibat of Salah, they're going to all be sayings except this one. Al-Julus, Al-Tashahud Al-Awwal. Al-Julus, Al-Tashahud Al-Awwal. Yani sitting, that's wajib for the Tashahud Al-Awwal. You got to sit to recite it, right? Wadaliluhu, Al-Hadith Al-Sabiq. And the evidence is the previous hadith that we just mentioned that mentions sitting, yani, for tashahud. Walau kana. Now listen to this. Listen to the argument here. Yani, this is the argument that, yani, makes us to know that this is a wajib of the salat and not a rukun. Huh? What's the dalil that this is a wajib and not a rukun? وَلَوْ كَانَ رُكْنَيْنِ كَانَ رُكْنَيْنِ مَا سَقَطَ بِالسَّهُ. What is the meaning of this? وَلَوْ كَانَ رُكْنَيْنِ مَا سَقَطَ بِالسَّهُ. If the sitting and the recitation of Tashahud al-Awwal, it's sitting and that recitation, لَوْ كَانَ, this is dual, كَانَ. If the two of them وَرُكْنَيْنِ were both pillars of the salat, مَا سَقَطَ بِسَهُ. It wouldn't be, yani, dropped literally or corrected by sahu. It wouldn't be sufficient just to make sujood sahwa. You would have to go back and do them. But what we know from the hadith is the Prophet didn't go back and do them. He didn't go back and do that sitting and the first tashahu. He didn't go back and do it. He left them and instead he fixed it by what? Two prostrations. Had they been, yani, rukun, pillars, then it wouldn't be possible just to make sajda sahwa. Rather, you have to go back and do it. That's the proof that it's not a rukun, but rather, it is a wajib.
And also, doing the sahwa means that you
And وَلَوْ كَانَ غَيْرُ وَاجِبَيْنِ مَنْ جَبَرَى بِالسُّجُودِ السَّهْوُ. And if the two of them were not wajib, we just proved that they're not rukuns, but how do we know that they are wajib? If they were not wajib, they would not have been corrected by sujood sahwu. Anjabara. Yani to jabara means to fix something, to heal it, to mend it, okay? So the salah is messed up because you left out the sitting for tashahud al-awwal and the recitation of it. So how do you mend it? How do you fix it? Yani sujood sahwu. Okay, the last point, which is also a saying. Okay, so eight, yani wajibat of salat, all of them are sayings except al-julus li-tashahud al-awwal. As-salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi at-tashahud al-akhir. Yani the salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the tashahud al-akhir. Now remember last time we didn't mention Salat ala Nabi as a rukun. But we commented on it, that some scholars hold that it is a rukun. So here, they didn't mention it because they considered it to be a wajib. So it came now here under the wajibat instead of the arkan. Okay, so make note of that. There's difference of opinion upon this particular point. In al-wajiz, they mention it from the arkan of salat. And here they mention it from the wajibat of salat. And these are two opinions of the people of sunnah. Two different opinions. Let's read what they said here. Let's see what they said here. وَدَلِيلُهُ حَدِيثُ أَبِي مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. The proof, yani that this is from the wajibat of salat, salat ala nabi, is the hadith of Abi Mas'ud رضي الله عنه. قَالَ بَشِيرْ إِبْنِ سَعَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَمَرْنَا اللَّهُ أَن نُصَلِّيَ عَلَيْكَ فَكَيْفَ نُصَلِّي عَلَيْكَ. Yani Bashir ibn Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, he said, O Messenger of Allah, Allah has commanded us to yani perform yani salat, yani to recite the supplication of salat upon you. So how do we do it? فَكَيْفَ نُصَلِّي عَلَيْكَ فَسَكَتَ ثُمَّ قَالَ قُولُوا اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد والسلام كما علمتم قال رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم رواه مسلم. يعني he said Allah has ordered us to offer salat upon you, يعني supplicating for salat to be upon you. And by salat we mean what? يعني as Abu Ali said, reported by Imam Bukhari in his Sahih, it means ثناء الله على رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم عند الملائكة أو كما قال يعني in this meaning. So he said Allah has ordered us to يعني perform the supplication of salat upon you. So how do we do it? The Prophet سكت. He remained silent. He didn't respond. He waited until Allah directed him. As for us, somebody asks a question, immediately we have the answers. We didn't even wait, yani just hastily. Then he said, say, O Allah, yani praise, yani offer salat upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and upon the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam as you have offered the praise upon the family of Ibrahim. And barak, yani the blessings be upon Muhammad and upon the family of Muhammad, just as you have sent blessings upon the family of Ibrahim, fil alameen, yani throughout the world, innaka hamidun majid, indeed you are the one who is praiseworthy and majestic. Naam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, after teaching them to say these words, he said, and the salam, yani upon me, kama alimtum, is as you already know. This hadith reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. Uzair ibn Khuzaymah. What is the book of Ibn Khuzaymah?
No, Ibn Khuzaymah is Sunan.
Ya Mustadrak la. Sunan la. Ibn Khuzaymah and Ibn Hibban have a Sahih. Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah. In the Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah, it contains the words فَكَيْفَ نُصَلِّ عَلَيْكَ إِذَا نَحْنُ صَلَّيْنَ عَلَيْكَ فِي صَلَاتِنَا. Yani, how do we offer salat upon you if we are doing so in the prayers, in the prayer, while we are performing salat? That's how it came in the Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah. And this is also a very important book, Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah, even though yani, all the narrations are not authentic, but yani, it contains a lot of authentic narrations. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I just want to make a note here, yani, just for a couple of moments, we're going to stop here. We're going to make just a quick note. I'm just going to refer to al-wajiz. I'm not going to read it because it's quite lengthy. But in wajiz, under the wajibat of salat, please make a note. Are you a question? No. Yeah, I mean, there are different narrations, right? There are different narrations, authentic narrations of salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are a lot of narrations. So, they came like that in this narration. We're not so concerned about the wording here, but rather what we're concerned about here is the proof of the salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. Do we find her? Oh, did anybody find the? Okay, what did you find? Okay, listen up. Abu Bakr, come here, please. If I may ask you to come. I know you're a little up in age and things like that. But no, the reason why I asked you to come here so the sisters can hear. So that you can hear from the microphone what you are reading. وَكَأَنَّهُ صَغِيرٌ. Oh.
No. No.
Okay.
Yeah. The.
We were reading from the book last week on page.
Page 37.
Now.
Page
37.
Yeah.
And it said.
فَإِذَا رَفَعْتَ فَإِذَا
رَفَعْتَ رَأْسَكَ
مِنْ آخِرِ السَّجَّةِ وَقَدْ وَقَعَدْتَ
قَدْرَ التَّشَاهُدِ فَقَدْ تَمَّتْ صَلَاتَكَ. Yani, they mention a narration that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, if you have raised, yani, if you have what?
If you raise your head,
if you raise your head yani, in the end, yani, the last sajda,
yes,
and you sat the amount of time to recite the tashahud, then you have completed your salah.
Right.
You so found a narration like that?
No, just, yeah, is it, I found some in what's the dictionary called?
The dictionary?
The dictionary.
Okay, you found it in the dictionary. Yeah, what did you find in the dictionary?
It might be a question.
Abi Humaid, now.
Is the same thing.
But
I was saying that, is it maybe a continuation of the hadith?
Let me see. Abi Humaid, fi sifat as-salat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa idha rafa'a ra'asahu استوى قائما حتى يعود كله, يعني all the bones of the body return to the places. وفي التشاهد وأنه قال المصلي في صلاته فإذا رفعت رأسك من آخر السجدة وقعت قدر التشاهد فقد تمت صلاتك. Yeah, but the thing is, yani, what hadith, what book of hadith is this narrating? That's what we want to know. What's the reference in the book of hadith? No, Maktab al-Shamila. But what book of hadith is it in? That's the question. That's what we want to know. No, look, brothers, sisters, listen. The reference, yani, they didn't give us a reference here. My issue with this, right, is that we're not going to use something as a proof. We don't have a reference to go back to. Because maybe they made a mistake. Maybe somebody made a mistake. Yani, even if a book is written by a scholar, and the scholar says there's a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said something, and he didn't tell us which book it's in. So now we got to go back and find it. If we find it, fine. But what if we didn't find it? Then we're not accepting that. Because we don't know that, yani, what hadith, it, where it came, what's the isnad, is it authentic or not, we don't know. So we have to have a reference, okay? The reference is critical for us. Otherwise, we don't accept any hadith that we don't have a reference for to go back and be able to check, is it authentic or not.
There's another hadith, but this is different. It doesn't say faiza, it says iza. This is by Abdullah ibn As. Abdullah ibn As.
Abdullah ibn As, no.
It says iza instead of faiza.
Uh-huh. So he said either instead of wa'idah.
Yeah,
but did they give a reference for what book of hadith it came from? Okay. Okay, no problem. Inshallah, if we find something, we're going to write it into the book, yani a reference or a source for it. Now, Saifullah. Is it in reference to what we're talking about right now? Hold on for a minute. Let me just close out and then ask any question you want, okay? All I want to mention is in Wajiz on page 91 under the Wajibat of Salat. They mentioned from the wajibat of salat is number one, takbirat al-intiqal. All of the takbirat, jazakallah khair. All of the takbirat for changing positions. And they mentioned the saying, sami Allahu liman hamida, and they mentioned, rabbana lakal hamd. And then they bring some evidences from hadith. Okay, they bring some evidences. And from what they mentioned is what we already mentioned, some of what we already mentioned. Then they said, number two, tashahad al-awwal. And then they mentioned, from Abdul ibn Mas'ud, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ about tashahud al-awwal. And then after that, they mention number three. This is what I want you to go back and go back to. And you go back to what? وَيَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ إِذَا قَامَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ سِطْرَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ تَمْنَعُ الْمُرُورِ أَمَامَهُ وَتَكُفُّ يَعْنِي بَصْرِهِ عَمَّا وَرَاءَهَا. يعني, they're saying here that it's obligatory that if a person stands up to perform salat, that they should use a sutra, something in front of them, in front of them, that prevents people from walking in front of them, and also, yani, reduces their sight from looking at what is beyond it, so that they don't get distracted by everything else that may be in front of them. Okay? And then they mention some hadith. I'm not going to read the hadith now, because of the time, and we like finished our time, but I want to note this point of the sutra. Because the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to use the sutra when we are praying. If a person is praying alone, or they're the imam leading the congregation, they should have a sutra. Okay? The Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا صَلَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيُصَلِّ إِلَى السُّتْرَ. If any one of you prays, then he must pray towards the sutra. In another narration he said, لَا يُصَلِّ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا إِلَى السُّتْرَ. No one of you should pray unless he's praying towards a sutra. So, the sutra is very important. Lots of times, people are praying alone and they are not using a sutra. Rather, the strangest thing that I have seen is a person came into the masjid and there are poles in the masjid that he could pray towards as a sutra. But instead of praying towards the pole, he got in front of the pole, with his back to the pole, with no sutra. What does that mean? Very strange. Yeah, instead of using the pole for a sutra, he made the pole his back to lean upon with no sutra. So the sutra is obligatory in the prayer. The sutra is obligatory in the prayer. So whoever prayed, and as the imam, they should be praying towards something. And the narration, he said, فَلْيَدْنُوا مِنْهُ. And if you pray towards the sutra, be near to it, be close to it. And there are a lot of narrations about the sutra. The point is, when you pray, you're the imam of the people, you should be praying with a sutra. If you're praying alone, you should be using a sutra, so that nobody, yani, can pass in front of you. In your space of prayer, the sutra should be close to you, yani, at the place where you're going to prostrate, so that people can walk beyond that, and nobody should walk in between you and your sutra. I wanted to just mention this, because they brought up this point there, but it's a long discussion. They brought a lot of discussion, yani, 2 pages or more. So I don't want to read it now, but I just want to allude to that now.
So this was a command from the Prophet ﷺ, but does it mean, not to say not to do it, but if someone knows, or so somebody knowing who knows this, and not out of arrogance, but for whatever reason, they were to pray in the middle of the masjid with no sutra, I've heard that doesn't make a salah batil, like the prayer would still count, that doesn't invalidate the prayer. So I just wanted to know.
Yeah, so I mean, the point is, if the praying towards the sutra is obligatory, does that invalidate the prayer without a sutra? We're not saying that invalidate the prayer. But if it's obligatory, and the person knowing that it's obligatory, consciously decides, like you said, for whatever reason. Naam, for whatever reason. Doesn't matter what reason. The person who knowingly, consciously abandons the prayer towards the sutra while they know it's obligatory, what does that amount to? Yani just conscious, willing disobedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why would a Muslim do that? Why would a Muslim do that? Why would you know that something is obligatory and just say, I'm not going to do that? For whatever reason you're not doing it. Doesn't matter what the reason is. If you're able and you know and you're conscious and you just say, I'm not going to do it. Because, yani, what could the reason be? It's too difficult to pray towards. It doesn't require you to lift anything. It doesn't require you to carry anything. It just means pray over there instead of in the middle of the floor. Allahumma musta'an. We're going to stop here. Naam. What's your name, Aki? I forgot. Huh? Al-Hussein. Naam. Yeah, Hussein. How big the sutra? Okay, that's a different subject. Like, they went into some details there. Okay, I don't want to go into the details of the subject. Because it's a long subject. But, yani, most of the scholars said it should be, the people who studied it carefully, it should be like the height of about 18 centimeters. Like 18 centimeters. Like the height of the saddle for the camel. Something like that. Okay, it shouldn't be something small. Yani, size of your fingertip or, yani, throw your zikr beads on the floor. They are not zikr beads. Who said that? I just want to scold you. They are not called dhikr beads. They are called rosary beads. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.